Radio MD. RadioMD.com.
Your eyes have it. And you have Dr. Robert Abel Jr., the Wizard of Oz.
Welcome back. We're going to discuss Ask the Wizard again. I'll review some of my case studies this past week, emails, and some literature, some of which I think is commonplace, but some of it is very specific. Let's start with the lady who came in her mid-60s, having pain behind her right eye. And she'd been to lots of doctors. Well, finally, a CAT scan took a picture and found that all 8 sinuses were occluded. Now, that's pretty rare. You don't get cancer in all 8 sinuses, and you don't get infection in all 8 sinuses without a high temperature and a high blood count. And so someone operated and cleared all the sinuses out, which was, of course, a rather big deal. But in inspecting what was the cause, it was most probably an allergy to dairy protein. The dairy is a mucus former, and the reaction to the protein clogged up all of the sinuses. So it's interesting that 60% of sinusitis is related to dairy intake, and people are not aware of that. And so this is a case where the commonplace can become severe. Then there are times when the commonplace can become very rare. A lady comes in with a bloodshot eye. People think it's in the eye, but it's actually on the outside of the eye, underneath the superficial coat. And the lady has it happen spontaneously without being on a blood thinner, because she can't take it because she bleeds, and without rubbing her eye. It turns out it's a factor 7 deficiency. That in the clotting mechanism, you go through all this cascade of little protein factors before it gets to fibrin and thrombin and forms a clot. So here was something rather rare that needed to be investigated because it keeps recurring. There are other things that are very subtle that people overlook. That fluorescent lights emit ultraviolet light. They're one of the bigger emitters of ultraviolet light. So you think that you work in an office and you have fluorescent lights all day long, you're picking up radiation, and radiation is cumulative. Well, there's a condition called discoid lupus, which is a little different than systemic lupus erythematosus. Discoid lupus is a skin disease, and when you replace all the UV lights, it goes away. So I always tell people, become a medical detective. You're the one that cares the most. Seeing and thinking like Sherlock Holmes, something that is part of being a medical detective. Dr. John Watson was the doctor, the educated man, but poor John, when fed any different clue, immediately went in that direction, whereas Sherlock was more intuitive, kind of like our listeners, and listened to all the information before forming a final conclusion, kind of like a doctor who would listen to the patient, look at all the options or as many options that could be considered, and then eliminate or include those that are important. Heartburn solutions. Well, people take heartburn and GERD. Maybe they're overweight. Maybe they don't have a good, strong diaphragm. And so they figure the best way out of that dilemma is take antacids. So a number of the antacids cause a B12 deficiency, neuropathy, change your gut flora to bacteria that don't do much work so that you gain weight. So having one of these PPIs, Prilosec, protein pump inhibitors, even Zantac to some degree, have an effect. So one should be wary of any medication long term, and perhaps even look at what are the options after a couple months. What is Are we treating a symptom or are we treating a cause? I had a patient come in, a 79-year-old dentist, says, look what I found. Chapter 18 in this book called Vital Health Secrets. Believe it when you see it. 3 nutrient eye drop formula dissolves cataracts without surgery. That's a pretty profound statement. I think there's nothing in life that's 100% except perhaps the short-term end of life. But be it as it may, there is no eye drop that will do 100% of people's cataract, especially if it's very dense. There are carnosine-containing eye drops that are extremely helpful in reducing early cataracts. So one needs to be clear about some of the sensationalism, especially when somebody is a generic physician or non-physician sharing information that becomes second and third hand. On the other hand, there is some science now behind mindful meditation, believe it or not. It was published only a month ago, let's make that January, in Biological Psychiatry, looking at the scientific basis of whether meditation versus placebo can change the brains of ordinary people. So the group at Carnegie Mellon took 35 unemployed men and women who were seeking work and experiencing considerable stress. Blood was drawn, brain scans were performed. Half the subjects were then taught formal mindfulness at a treatment center in a nice retreat setting that was very calm. And the rest completed a kind of sham mindfulness program that focused on relaxation and distraction from worries and stress. So one was very focused on mindful meditation. The other was just sort of getting a break from life. So when everyone was doing stretching exercises, the mindfulness group paid close attention to bodily sensations, including unpleasant ones. On the other hand, the relaxation group was encouraged to chatter, ignore their bodies, while listening to their leader crack jokes. At the end of 3 days, the participants were told that they had to experience some conversation, and they were going to be tested again. So follow-up brain scans showed differences only in those who underwent mindful meditation. There was more activity or communication among different parts of the brain that process stress-mediated reactions and other areas related to focus and calm. 4 months after that experiment, 4 months after they had done those 3 days, those who practiced mindfulness previously showed much lower levels in their blood of one of the markers of unhealthy inflammation. So we know that the brain is powerful, and we know that we have to sort of curtail some of our stress. We also know that being well and countering inflammation and being mindful can actually affect our DNA, and that we can actually change some of the activities that we perform in our bodies through this kind of mindfulness. And it gives us hope to know that if you can set time out of your day, just like with exercise. Now, there are other things this past week that are interesting. A man comes in with a macular hole, meaning the center of his retina is deficient because of stress on the center of the retina. That is treatable. And he came in thinking it was a retinal detachment as an emergency, which it was not. People with optic nerve disease can be treated with stem cells now, and it's in the study phase, but it does work. Lady comes in with 12 units of cross-eyed. Well, how long have you had it? 5 years. Well, obviously, you acclimatized to that. You got used to that. And obviously, it didn't happen yesterday. So a lot of those things depend on chronology. Again, the detective. Lastly, a lady comes in with pressures of 27 and 26 in her two eyes. Normal is between 12 and 21. People are frightened that that's glaucoma, but all the benchmarks and markers that are available said, no, it's not. She just runs a higher pressure. So we have to be mindful. We have to be attentive as listeners. We have to be good students of medicine. I'm Dr. Rob Abel, the Wizard of Eyes on RadioMD.com. For more information on this segment or any of my segments, visit my showcase page, showcase page at RadioMD.com. Thank you for listening. Thank you for being mindful. Thank you for becoming a medical detective, because that's who you really are, and that's who you need to be.